You know, I want to continue something, and I want to just take a little time. I just am impressed to continue on this subject of healing, divine healing. And I want to focus a little bit on in this way today, and I'll unpack this here. But we are made, and I know I'm going to go back over some things that we all know, so don't check out, you know, and say, well, I know that. But just absorb and listen. But God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and then it also says those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Say, God is a spirit. And he said he would make me in his image and likeness. So that makes me a spirit. Yeah, I live in this physical body, but the real me, the real you, is a spirit. So when we leave this earth, if Jesus tarries and we leave this earth, we're going to go one place or another. I mean, not us. I mean, we know him, so we're going up. We're going to heaven. But if you don't know him, you're not going to die, but you're going to be incarcerated and you're going to go to hell. And it's for eternity. This isn't, oh, we're going to be there 1,000 years and we get out. Oh, no, it's forever. That's why when we talk about, you know, people that we know, we need to pray that, man, you wouldn't want any, how many would want any of their family members to be eternally damned? Oof. Even your worst enemy, you wouldn't want that. So God, I'll read this from the New Living Translation, Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And then down in verse 27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He didn't create them, I don't know what your gender is. He said male and female. So I don't care what society thinks, where society goes, we have God's word that said, I've created male and female. And that's just the way it is. You know, you've heard people, I've heard, you know, you've heard just in the natural, you've heard, you know, Dr. Ben Carson and other doctors said, it's in your DNA. You cannot, you could cut up, cut off, make yourself look like something that you're not made to be. And he said, when we go into your body, you're not that. He made male and female. People may be confused, and the devil makes them confused. And we should have compassion for that and pray that people see the light of the glorious gospel. And then Psalm 8 in the New Living Translation, starting in verse 3, 4, and 5. I mean, this is just a look at how God views man. It says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. Who did? God did. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them a little lower than God, and did what? He crowned them with glory and honor. That's how much God thinks about us. You gave them, I like this, verse 6, You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. Huh. And then it goes on, verse 7, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. So what is this saying? Adam was given dominion and authority by God over everything. Everything. What he said came to pass. It was so. He named the animals. He named, right? So he had what? Perfect fellowship with God. But when he sinned, he lost that authority. That's why when we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. So we have Satan, who took that authority, and he became the God or the prince of the air, the God of this world, and that lease has not been fulfilled yet, if you could say. He still rightfully has that authority. But, oh, thank God, Jesus came to redeem us, redeem mankind, because sin now had been passed down through mankind, and the curse was released in the earth. Amen. So, God created man in his image and likeness, just a little lower than himself. And when Christ became a man, he did what? He took on a physical body in the incarnation. And what? He did so for eternity. He became like us. And he set aside, as Philippians said, he set aside his divine privileges. And he walked this earth as a sinless man, just like Adam did, in complete fellowship with God. And he's named, or not named, he's referred to as the last Adam. Right? So he began to walk this earth and show us, I know, like how Pastor Clinton used to say, he was a prototype of what we should be. You mean to tell me, people say, well, does that mean I can speak to winds and walk on water? If need be, yes. Because he restored all authority back to his church, just like he gave all authority over everything to Adam, that's been restored to the body of Christ. That's why we should never, ooh, I'm passionate about this, do not speak poor. Do not speak weak. You have been given dominion and authority in him over all the works of his hands. You have the body of Christ. Get your mind changed to that. Yes, we walk through things. Paul walked through things. And after he went to the Lord three times, he said, my grace is sufficient. Ooh. The church is laying down when they should be suiting up and taking charge of the junk that's going on. And kicking the devil out of our homes, kicking the devil out of our neighborhoods, kicking the devil out of our surroundings, our nation. You ought to rise up and say, get out in the name of Jesus. Who? So God has taken up residence in his body by his spirit. So when we look at this, and this is where I wanted to go, when we became born again, when we became new creatures in Christ, our spirits were redeemed, were changed. No evidence of sickness or disease. No evidence of sin in my spirit. I am a brand new person, a brand new species of being, a brand new creature in Christ. Oh, I'm brand new. Stop looking at the outside. No, we didn't change. If you were short, you're still short. If you're tall, you're still tall. If you got a big whatever, it's still big. Whatever that is. But the point is that, and this is where I was going to land on today, when Jesus was here in this earth, Jesus' voice was God's voice. His voice was God's voice. When you heard Jesus speak, it was God speaking. And we know that's for certain, because in the Gospel of John, the New Living Translation, John 12:49, I don't know if they can put that up. Yeah, there it comes. John 12:49, the New Living Translation. What is Jesus saying? I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Ooh, should that be our testimony? Oh, yes. I'm not operating in my authority. I'm operating under His authority, and He should be doing what? Directing us what to say and how to say it. Because when I speak, it's God speaking. Just like Jesus. So what does that mean? Why are you talking poor? Why are you talking weak? Why are you talking sick? Why are you talking, I can't? Is that what God is saying? No. That's what your soul and your flesh is talking real loud. John 14:24, New Living Translation. It says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Whew, glory. So again, Jesus was God's voice. He was speaking what the Father told him to say. Jesus was, and we could say is, the Word of God. So God is faithful that promised. And that's why it says, cast not away therefore your confidence with half great recompense of reward, for God is faithful that promised. You know, let me just ask a question. I know you know the answer, but I like to just ask her anyways. When you speak, the real you, when it speaks, people say, you know, your words and you are tied together. The voice of God and the Word of God are connected. And how can we put our trust in that? Because God is faithful. He said, I never change. He's without variableness or shadow of turning, James 1:17. Malachi 3:6, he changes not. He doesn't change. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the real you, when people see you or hear you, it's their words that they respond to. They'll say, well, I trust you. Well, what are they really saying? They're trusting what you said. Not because you and your word are one. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about your character. What you say you will do. What you say will come to pass. That's why it's so important that you believe the words that you speak and not just say words. I'm going to do this. And you have no intentions of doing that. And we've all been here. I mean, we're all making corrections. We say we're going to do this, and we look up, and 5 days later, we didn't do it. We all have done that. But we need to be better at, when I say I'm going to do something, you do it. Because here's the rub with this. You know you. And when you speak something, you may have good intentions, but your intentions is not what's going to get the job done. It's doing it. So, this, when they say they trust you, this was the point I was making. When somebody says they trust you, they really are saying they trust what you've said and done. And it's no different with God. We trust him by faith. But we trust him because things he's done for us. And as we know, experience, that what happens is over time, when something comes up new and I'm walking through something different, I can look back and say, well, God, you answered me here. You did this here, you did this here, you did this here. You are going to fulfill this, and I trust you. I can trust him. So let's look at Isaiah, and I'm leading to a point here. When we look at Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 in the King James. And I'm going to read this, maybe add some descriptors here, but it says, surely he hath borne our griefs. And that's how the King James writers wrote it in Old English. But that word griefs actually means disease, sickness, anxiety. So what is it saying? He bore our diseases, our sicknesses, our anxieties, and it says, and carried our sorrows. Well, that word sorrows is disease, affliction, and pain. So he bore my diseases, sicknesses, anxieties, and he carried my diseases and afflictions and so forth. And it says, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of who? Of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So he sent his word, and it says what? He healed us. He delivered us. So when God said, with his stripes we are healed, that really ends the discussion. There is no more discussion. It's settled. The issue of sickness and disease is a closed or finished thing. Himself took it. And if God's word is settled, then when he said it, it's so. And he will bring it to pass if we will take it by faith. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So it's been dealt with and settled in Christ and his redemption. How? Through his stripes and through his blood. Glory to God. So sin and disease are one. They're connected. Disease was what? The fruit of sin. So that cannot dominate. It can, say it cannot. Sin and sickness and disease cannot dominate the new creation. Cannot dominate me. It cannot. You're not only his son, but you are a joint heir with Jesus. What God said is, it is so. So in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. So if there's no condemnation, disease cannot lord itself over you. Didn't say it couldn't touch you or try. Jesus was tempted in all ways, like we are, but without sin. So for us, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. I like this in John 6:63. In the King James, it said, it is the Spirit that does what? Quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak. That word, when he says, the words that I speak unto you, that Greek word is rhema. It's not logos. It's the rhema word of God. That's why when it says his word is like a sword. So the word of God, the rhema word of God, is spirit and life. And so we've been delivered from what? The power of Satan. Colossians 1:13. I'm going to read this from the 13 and 14, Colossians 1, from the Passion Translation. It says, he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the where? The kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are what? Canceled. And we have the release of redemption through his very blood. I've been released. I am not under the tyrannical rule of darkness, of Satan. I'm not subject to him anymore. So that means we need not talk, you know, if we talk something that's not the word, then we're talking darkness. I mean, that's just the fact. We're talking things that the devil is perpetrating. He's the one that causes the curse or influences it. We've been redeemed from it. So that means I need not talk what the curse produces. Don't talk it. Do not speak it. I like what Brother Copeland said years ago, which is true. He said, this place here is a word church. And we need to do what? Speak the word. Don't, you know, we can get frustrated in the natural, our natural mind. That's why it's important that we keep our hearts full of praise and worship. And we begin to sing songs. We may not feel like it. We might be home just like, eh. But those are the times when your flesh and your soul is just pulling you down. You need to just say, you know what? God's word is true. And maybe I don't feel like praising him. My soul doesn't. My flesh doesn't. But I'm just going to say, thank you, God. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that I'm your child. Thank you that I'm a joint heir. Thank you that I'm healed today. Thank you that I'm well and I'm preserved. And thank you that the Holy Ghost lives in me. He is showing me how to overcome. And sometimes, just think about it. How would you like to have been Paul and Silas, beat and whipped in stocks? Just picture that for a minute. Close your eyes and just think about that. You've been whipped. You've been beaten. You're working for God. You're doing everything he tells you. And now you're in stocks, whipped. You're bloody. And you don't think that maybe they had some thoughts. But what did they do? At midnight, they did what? They mumbled. No, they lifted up praises to God. And we need to learn from these old saints that went through stuff. That when we're walking through that and there's a midnight hour, oh, we need to lift up praises. We need to just begin to thank him and shout. Stir up your heart because he's faithful. Don't talk defeat. Don't talk poor. Don't have poor mouth. You know, I mean, we were growing up, you know, you said things, you know, I remember in my household a few times, they said, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. You know, that was the way parents did back then. Now I don't know what they do now, but probably they take you, they'd say, you know, that's child abuse. But I'll tell you one thing, it sure put the fear of God in you. Fear your parents. Because if your parents whooped you a few times, you're like, I don't know, maybe they're going to do it or not. I don't know. I don't want to try it. I don't want to get my mouth washed out. I don't want to get another whooping. So, sometimes when we're going through things, we need to lift our voices. God never promised us that everything was going to be just peachy cream down here. You've got a devil. If you think this is hard, I mean, look at the assignments Paul had. Now, we don't have, or some of us don't have those assignments. But if you're going through something, you need to shout to God. You have the victory. No matter what you're walking through, you have the victory in him. Victory over what? Victory over Satan. He's the one that's causing and stirring up stuff. Who has the victory over him? We do. And so if you don't like something, look at what you're saying. Begin to talk victory. You know, sometimes we circle around these things, but how many were here for the Life and the Spirit Conference. How many were here? Some of you were. Some of you make time next year and come, because we're going to do it. I already reached out to them. And we're going to look at the same time frame, first week of November. And I remember Leanne and Pastor Leanne, they all said, pray, speak. What did she say? Pray from a place of what? Victory. Speak from a place of victory. We're not defeated. We've been redeemed. We've been delivered. So I need to think that way, talk that way. You know, this may seem basic, but when you talk a certain way, it reflects how you think. So if you're talking poor mouth, then I'd have to say, how much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you speaking the Word? Because or you could say to somebody, is that really what you believe? Oh, no. Then why are you talking that way? If that's the way you believe, remember, your words spoken in faith will create. Remember, we're made in the image and likeness of God, just a little lower than Him. So that means, like Brother Hagin used to say when he was alive, faith-filled words create realities. So when I speak something and I say it long enough and I believe it, it creates it. So we need to walk. You keep saying you're tired, you'll create tired in your body. You keep saying we can't, you'll create we can't in your life. Now, it didn't happen overnight, did it? Neither does speaking faith-filled words. They don't happen instantly, but they happen, and you created it. That's why in Proverbs, what does it say in Proverbs 4? Guard your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, right? Well, that doesn't say that there, but it says guard your heart. So we need to guard our heart. Think about it. God wants to bring us into another season of blessing. And He keeps reminding us, this isn't just about healing, although I'm focusing on it, but it's, we are made in His image and likeness, and we are God-like. We are a spirit, and what we speak in faith happens. So if you want abundance and prosperity in your life, yes, bring in what you purpose to give, but speak and say, my seed is sown and it will produce. And it will produce. You feed on the Word of God, you keep getting the Word of God down in your spirit, and you keep speaking it. My body is healed, my body is strong, my body is whole. Now maybe you need some help in the meantime. Get the help. Don't be foolish. Get the help you need. Get the advice you need. But speak the Word. Create wholeness and health in your body. Because it's a redemptive fact. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm not subject to it anymore. Hallelujah. I'm born from above. Glory to God. So let's just finish with this. Hebrews 10:23 in the New Living Translation. Remember, our words are spiritual. I'm a spirit, and the words that come out of my spirit are spiritual, and they create. Hebrews 10:23. The New Living, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. That just means what I expect. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. What's your hope? What hope? What are you affirming? That's our profession of faith. I'm blessed. My cupboards are full. My seed that I've planted is producing. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of life is in me. He's the vine and I'm the branch. I'm not disconnected from the life of God. He lives in me and his life is quickening my mortal body. It's giving life to it. His wisdom is showing me what to do, how to make money, how to live right, how to eat. His wisdom shows me that. That's why sometimes when people say, oh, come serve me, and we're walking around like this. I'm tired. I'm broke. I can't afford. And people are going, you want me to serve that God? No. So what are we affirming? What hope are we affirming? See, and don't you remember, this is what Brother Jim Hockaday was sharing. All of this goes back to our fellowship with him. It's not just quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word. Yes, we do. But not apart from his direction. Let's close. What did Jesus say? He said, everything I say is at his direction. So it's the same thing. He had fellowship with his Father, and his Father told him what to say regarding something. That's no different with us. We have the word. We feed upon it. We meditate upon it. But then we get unction by the Holy One to release words in faith, and they come to pass. Or let's say it this way, they will come to pass. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. You get anything out of this? Stir your heart a little bit. Sometimes we need to just stir our hearts. If I could say anything, hook up, spend more time fellowshipping with him, pray in the Holy Ghost, and affirm what you believe. I believe the word of God. I believe these things about me. This is what he says about me and the word of God. And that's what I affirm. That's what I'm saying. Right? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we go places and we interact with people, you know, I like to say it this way, don't beat them over the head with the Bible, but live a life in front of them. And most times people know the difference. They see a difference in you. You're not stressed out. You're not complaining. You're not mumbling. And they are, and they want to know what's the difference. Well, you tell them, I serve a big God. He loves me. And he takes care of me. Amen. Praise God. Can be that simple. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that you love us and that you care for us. We thank you for the word of God and the Spirit of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our helper, for in these times that we live in, we thank you that you are directing our every step. You're showing us how to live an overcoming life in Christ. And we thank you that we can overcome every obstacle, every circumstance in this life, and we take back that which the devil has stolen from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. You know, you ever think about this? If you get distracted, so much with your own, I call it personal things going on, that when you get so, and I use the word distracted because they can become distractions. They take our time. They consume our energy, don't they? But when we get that going on in our life, it can affect how you are reaching out to other people beyond your circles, doesn't it? Keep you busy with life. And we need to remember, oh no, you're not doing that to me. I may be walking through some things, but Satan, in the name of Jesus, you'll not stop me. That's why when Paul said, pressing forward to the mark of the high, he went through stuff. He was going through stuff, but he said, forgetting what's behind us. Forget it. It's already been paid for. And I have the victory. And I'm going to operate with a victory mindset. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we unhook, if you're here today or you're watching online with us and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord, and this may be a place or a time or a season where you've not done that, or you've thought about it and you haven't, and now this is the time that for you to accept him, ask him into your heart. He'll redeem your spirit and remove all the sin that was in your spirit. That's why it says he'll make us brand new. My spirit, which was darkened with sin, is redeemed now. So if you're here or you're watching online and you've never made a profession of faith, we believe in the Lord Jesus and we confess him and believe that he was what? Raised from the dead. It says you shall be saved. So if that's you today, maybe you've also, if maybe you kind of stopped serving him or thinking about him and you need to get it right with him, then ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I've stepped away from you. I'm not serving you like I should. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him into your heart. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I receive him as my Savior. I believe that he is the Savior of all men, and I receive him, and I believe that he took my sins, took them to hell, became sin, and when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and translated or raised to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, made me brand new, and I am now saved and redeemed. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it from your heart, then what you said released the power of God in your life and changed you, redeemed you, made you a brand new person in Christ. So if you're here today, just let us know. We'll give you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. And if you're watching online, send us a note, send us an email or mail, send us and let us know that you became born again. And we'll respond and send you some information as to who you have become in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.